Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Maluleke, good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon once more.
Yes, man, how are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Lovely, lovely. Great stuff, man. I hope you've had spent your day well so far.
Yeah, so far so good.
Lovely. Great to hear that, man. Now, we're continuing with our topic, Practicing Faith in a Secular World. And those who are joining us for the first time, this week, we're speaking to Pastor Jay Maluleke, who's talking to us and have been talking to us about, practicing faith in a secular world. And if you have got anything to say about this particular topic, please hit us up on +27 734 703 520. Otherwise, you can just call us as well, and let's talk about that. Now, want to know, what is our role as followers of Christ in the 21st century with regards to culture? Now, should we be transforming culture or become part of the counterculture? How do we practice faithful presence today and communicate the truth of Christ in an increasingly secular and egocentric world? And so today we want to delve into the responsibility of every Christian living in a secular society today. Now, Pastor, what are some of the challenges associated with practicing one's faith in a secular society? I think we did touch briefly on this yesterday.
Yes, we did. And if we go back to the definition, remember, of secularism is that we begin to separate the state and religion. And so in our thinking, in our policies, we remove religious thinking. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that we unconsciously or subconsciously lose the awareness of God's presence in our lives. And that's the first thing. We tend to think that we can do things with our own power, with our own wisdom, and sometimes we don't even consult God, to give us strength and wisdom to do the things that we need to do. We end up also trading the ultimate and the eternal for the immediate and the temporary, because we think hedonistically, we want it and we want it now. We want to enjoy here and now. Sometimes we become pleasure-centered, because the secularism is also about the here and now. We're not thinking about about heaven. So we also unconsciously and subconsciously adopt and assimilate views and an outlook or worldview that conflicts with a biblical worldview. So you may be thinking that you are Christian, but somehow, worldviews, values, and principles, strictly creep into your thinking, your behavior, your conduct. So we basically conform, you end up conforming and blending in. And that's why when Paul writes Romans chapter 12 verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And James also warns, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So these are just broad general challenges. We gave some examples yesterday. It can be challenges in the workplace related to your profession, vis-a-vis what the law says, with regards to a pastor that is supposed to officiate a wedding of homosexual couples, a doctor who may be in a position where he is compelled to perform an abortion, or things like that. You may have be required or requested to work on a Sabbath if you are a Seventh-day Adventist. But that will be against your religion and conscience. So those are some of the challenges.
Now, individuals and members, individual members of the church or those believers, they do face such challenges. And of course, you've said that we should not be conformed, to this world, etc. But what is the role of the church then and the faith community when a Christian is having trouble practicing their faith due to external pressure?
Yeah, as Christians, we need to treat one another as patients in a hospital. No one is perfect. So we go to a hospital because we are sick and we need healing. Mm. Go to church because we are sick spiritually and we need healing. That's the first attitude that we need to adopt, that we are in a process or in a journey of growth. We are not a finished product. We are still a work in progress, and therefore we need to support one another. So we need to pray for one another, but we also need to advise one another. We need to be to confront one another without condemning each other. We need to be considerate with each other without condoning wrongdoing. Somebody says we need to empathize with one another without enabling dysfunctionality and wrongdoing. And that we find, so we adopt a principle that Jesus adopted when he dealt with a woman in John chapter 8 that was caught in adultery. And Jesus says, who condemns you? And the woman says, no one condemns me. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. So the role of the faith community is to support, is to pray for one another, is to care for one another, and also to confront some behaviors that are not consistent with our faith, so that those behaviors can be changed and corrected. Because if we don't advise one another, it's almost as if we don't love each other. We're just pretending that we love each other. Yeah. So the role of the faith community is to support and try to bring back someone into the right path.
Now, I just need to find out, because it does seem that our world today is so secular. Let's look at the ancient world. Are there any biblical examples of people who had to exercise their faith in a secular society?
I'd say there were people who had to exercise their faith in environments where there were other religions. The faith of Abraham is a monotheistic faith. He believed in God, the creator of heaven and earth, but he operated in an environment where there was polytheism. Many people who believed in many gods. So, but we...
Oh, Mfundis.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Pastor, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I was somehow muted.
Okay, all right. I'm not sure how that happened. Yes?
Yeah, but we have examples of people who lived in an environment where there were different faiths. We have Abraham, whom God actually asked to leave his own family and go to a country he did not know. Mm. We have Joseph, who was in Egypt, where they practiced a completely different religion. So it doesn't necessarily fit the definition of secularism, because they had their own religion. We had Moses, who was actually educated by the Egyptians in a religious, surrounded by religious deities. And Esther and Mordecai, there's one book in the Bible which does not mention the name of God, which is the book of Esther. So you also have an Esther and a Mordecai in Persia, and they still were faithful to God. You have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Babylonian context. And then you have Paul in the New Testament. You have Naaman as well, in Naaman's servant in the Old Testament, But this was not strictly a secular environment. That's what I want to emphasize. But they were operating in an environment, in environments that were not monotheistic.
And you're saying that these individuals that you quoted survived fair and square in those environments?
They survived. You know, Joseph was able to resist the advances of Pharaoh's Potiphar's wife. Moses actually sacrificed the position that you are supposed to have as an heir apparent of the Pharaoh, and he identified himself with the people of God. Mordecai and Esther risked, you know, Esther at one point says, if I will go into the king's presence, but and if I perish, I perish, taking a risk for the people of God. You know, Daniel and his friends, you know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego risked, and they were even thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. They came out victorious. They faced serious challenges. But they were victorious, and they glorified the name of God. They were faithful to God under very difficult and challenging circumstances.
Now, how should the presence of a faithful Christian or faithful Christians affect the society?
Obviously, Christians should have a positive effect in a society. And so Jesus says, be the salt of the earth. That's Matthew chapter 5. Be the salt of the earth. And salt is meant to add value, to make a difference, to give taste, and to preserve the food for a longer period, you know, to be in healthy, in a fresh, edible state. And you know, one thing about salt is that people should miss you in your absence, and sometimes even take you for granted in your presence, just like we take salt for granted, you know, in food. No one says, yo, the salt in that food. Yes, we just eat and enjoy the food, and we say the food was delicious, but nobody ever says it was because of the salt. But once the salt is not there, then we know that we miss it. So Christians should not necessarily be dramatic people, but their absence should be felt, because people should be able to say, you know, we took it for granted. That person was so helpful, so useful, so beneficial to us. And now in their presence, we know that that person was the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be the light of the world, enlighten, teach, inform, reach people, and also influence policies and legislation if possible. But be, well, I'm muted again. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you. I don't know if you can hear me, but we've been hearing you all along.
Okay. Yeah. So Christians should have a positive influence and impact in a society, just like, yes, Joseph, Moses, Esther, Mordecai, Daniel, and Paul in the New Testament.
Now, what should be in the mind of a Christian in terms of what their responsibility should be like in a secular society?
What should be in the mind of a Christian? I think, yeah, number one, Christians should make sure that they practice, you know, God's presence, to be conscious of the fact that God is with you wherever you are, just like he has promised. So we should never forget that God sees us in our workplaces, in our families, in our communities, you know, wherever we are. God, we see, that should be foremost in our mind, so that we can be able to prioritize the eternal and the ultimate, you know, just like Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So seeking the kingdom of God should be foremost also in our minds. And we should not conform to the world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And Colossians 2 verse 8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So we should replace you know, human, worldly, secular philosophies with the presence of Christ in our minds.
Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much. I think that it really should keep us occupied that there is a Christ who is present not only in our hearts and minds, but who is present in our society. And that society also needs to see that Christ. Do you think that, as I let you go, that as Christians sometimes we struggle to show a Christ, as you said, a Christ that is available, that lives with us? I'm saying that because many a times you would hear people saying, "Oh, I didn't know. Are you a Christian? Oh my goodness! Oh, we are Kwanzaa and Advent." You know, people don't really know. Should be our business to let people know that we are believers.
Not necessarily always. There's somebody who says, "If you are not preaching, everywhere you go, don't preach anywhere." You know, so we preach through our conduct, through our behavior, through our lifestyle, and that it shouldn't be a shock when someone says, "Oh, you are an Adventist. Oh, now I see it makes sense." You know, because of the way you conduct yourself, you know. It makes sense. Everything is, you know, the puzzle is falling into place. But now, yes, if my conduct is not consistent with what I would later profess to believe, of course, people would be shocked. And it may be that, yes, that we struggle these days in terms of being true to what we believe, and presenting it to the world, so that when they know what we believe and they look at our behavior, they may not be shocked. So it's not, if we are not always compelled to say, "Hey, look at, I'm Johannes and I'm a Seventh-day Adventist," but I should conduct myself in such a way that when people get to know what I believe, they can say, "Yes, you have truly represented what we know about Seventh-day Adventists."
Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming this afternoon. It's truly a pleasure to always talk to you. We're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place. I think I like the fact that you emphasize that it is our responsibility to navigate this secular world, knowing that there is a Christ who lives in us and who guides us in everything that we do. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much once more. Have a good rest of the show.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.